Well, good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to another round of Family Business Radio. It is Thursday afternoon at 1 o'clock, and that's when we broadcast every week, so please come back often. I just want to always restate for our listeners how and why Family Business came to be. So through Family Business Radio, we are showcasing family businesses and building a community designed to educate, inform, and support family-owned businesses. So each week, our guests include family business owners, key executive non-family members who are helping to drive those businesses, and the trusted professional advisors that assist them. I'm one of your hosts, Pat Romboletti with Sage Executive Search, and I want to welcome Meredith Moore, my co-host.
Hi, I'm Meredith with Moore & Associates Wealth Management, and I've got to tell you, Pat, I'm really excited about today's guest.
We get excited all the time, but we're really excited about this one.
Absolutely. In 1982, our famed guest, Maxine Burton, put the first balloon to finish off a basket of gift flowers, and the rest, as they say, is history. We can't wait to hear the story about her business and how she and her family really grew it into one with customers in over 90 countries and over 15,000 products.
Absolutely. Maxine Burton, welcome to Family Business Radio.
Oh, thanks for having me.
I'm glad to have you here. And I know your roots are here in Georgia. Can you tell our listeners a little bit about where you were born and educated?
Yes, I grew up in Cumming, Georgia, just a little bit north of here. And then I went to school at the University of Georgia, and I got my degree in education. And I went back to Cumming to teach school for a year, and then I married my husband, and we moved back to Athens. He never left Athens. He grew up in Duluth and went away to school and never left. And so then we got married, and I went back to Athens to live, and the rest is history.
Absolutely. I know that somewhere along the line, you attended Harvard Business School for their executive program. Were you one of the only family business owners there, or was that fairly well represented there?
There were other family business owners there as well.
Yeah, mostly corporate, but a good mix.
Yes.
Yeah. You know, I have about three sheets here of all the honors that you have been given, and I want to highlight some that many of our listeners may have even read about if they've been paying attention to the local papers. So I know that you were the recipient of the Georgia Family Business of the Year Award by the Cox Family Enterprise Center in Kennesaw State University. That's exciting. And also the recipient of the William E. Billy Hudson Distinguished Citizen Award in Northeast Georgia for the Boy Scouts of America. And one that I'm very familiar with, and I know that it comes about from people who inspire others with vision, leadership, and achievement, and that's the Ernst & Young Entrepreneur of the Year Award for that retail wholesale category. So congratulations on all of those and the many honors that I see listed here. And I know that you also serve on a number of boards, and one of them perhaps we'll talk about again a little later on in the show, and that's the Georgia Ports Authority Board. So that sounds like that's pretty interesting, because I believe that is an appointment by the governor, if I'm correct.
That's correct.
Excellent. Well, we'll be talking about some of those.
Well, you know, Pat, we always like to start at the beginning. Maxine, can you kind of tell us how your business got started?
Well, we were involved in a retail and wholesale florist operation. My husband was a partner in that business when we got married, and I helped with that business. Actually, as I said before, I taught school, and then after we were married, I did teach school 1 year. But besides that, I worked in our business, in the wholesale florist business, and I was always looking for something else to do. And I started a business where I was selling health food in the early years, at like the boat show and the home show. And I saw balloons, so I started selling balloons and thought of an idea to sell balloons to flower shops, because at that time balloons were really new and mostly being sold by the carnival people. And also, if you remember back in the early 80s, and there were people that were doing a lot of costume delivery, mm-hmm. the singing telegrams. Yeah. They would deliver balloons and also do the singing telegrams. And at that time, the flower shops were really having a hard time with that. Well, I started selling the balloons to the balloon shops, but also I tried to do a marketing directly to the flower shops, because I understood that market, and wound up doing message balloons and selling message balloons to the flower shop. So that's how I started the business, looking to do something else and looking at the industry we're already involved in and trying to take a new idea and expand it. And really, I was one of the first people to really educate the florist on selling balloons, and also the first person to really do messages on balloons.
Wow. So before, I guess, the messages on the balloons, it was just the typical base color balloon, no silver and letters or anything? Or
yes, well, you know, balloons started just as the rubber balloons, the latex balloons. And then in the late 70s, the silver balloons were invented. And when they first, the silver balloons were invented, it was just the solid colors. And then from the solid colors, there were cartoon characters. And then in the 80s, when I started the business, there was a little bit of message type thing, wording on balloons, but not really. And I took the idea of the sentiments that you need for a flower shop and did design as well as messages together to put in bouquets.
So at that point, you were still working with your husband and it was focusing on the florist and then the balloon. At what point in time did it become, now we're going to just take off and it's going to, you're going to focus on the balloon as a business and expanding it there?
Actually, with the balloons, I started as a separate business. Uh-huh. I was doing the health food and, well, which was really more like caramel-covered raisins and you know, yogurt raisins and that, as I said, with the boat show. But then when I started the balloon business, I was selling some balloons at the carnivals and then some of the florists were asking, and we were selling them in our retail, the business we were partners in, the retail business, the retail flower shop. And so some of the wholesale, our customers were asking, where did we get the balloons? And I decided that I would start a business. And so I started marketing to the customers that we were already selling wholesale flowers to, and also went to the gift shows and to the regional shows for the flower shops and real early on. So I think in order for me to be successful in a business, I would have to start it as a business and instead of just an outshoot. You know, a lot of people say I started my business in my house or in my trunk of my car, but I actually started it in one of our buildings and you know, really put full focus. And that's just the type. A lot of people can start from their home and be successful, but I'm the type of person, I've got to be all in it or all out of it. So that, I think that was the reason I was successful, because I put full force in going after the market and doing it as a business.
You know, in our intro, we said you were in 90 countries, and but I'm sure you didn't start there. You started in the Athens area. How quickly did you start to roll that out throughout the country?
Oh, it was, you know, gradually, always. I mean, still we're growing. I started in the beginning, as I said, selling to the Northeast Georgia flower shops, and that was in March of 82. And then from there, I went to the Atlanta Gift Show and the Dallas Gift Show in the summer of 82. And also I did some regional flower shows in the months between the gift shows. And then just from there, just continuously growing the business. So, you know, we have showrooms. We have permanent showrooms in Atlanta, Dallas, and Chicago. We have sizable showrooms there. And, you know, we're constantly doing shows all across the country. So we're still, you know, working each day to grow the business. So it's a constant. Some people say, you know, how did you feel when you're with your success? But I always feel like it's always working every day.
Yeah.
How do the markets compare internationally with domestically in terms of the market for balloons?
Well, we do other things other than just balloons. You know, so we do a lot of gift items as well. But it's we're constantly working with those markets. We do a lot more in Central and South America, but we do a lot of the islands. So, and a lot of those people, you know, come to the gift shows here in the U.S. as well, and we're on the internet. So we have a good emphasis. We have a good website. So, you know, people know us from that as well as our gift shows.
Right. Well, when you started out, it was just you and your husband, and you were married. Did you have any children when you first started?
Yes, my children were 3 and 6 at the time I started the business.
Wow.
So my husband actually was still involved in the business we had at the time,
right.
And I started the business, and of course we always consulted with each other, but it was just me in the beginning. And then, as I said, I started in March of 82, and then I hired 2 part-time people in March. I was supposed to hire 1 person. My husband and I talked about hiring a person, and I wound up hiring 2 part-time people, and I wondered how I was going to be able to pay for them. But luckily, working very hard, I was able to. And my parents were always very instrumental in helping in the business from the beginning as well, and all my family have always pitched in. My grandmother used to help do things that she could do at home as well when I first started the business. So I always had a lot of family support. And then my children always went with us to the business. We have always involved in our children and talked about the business. I mean, it's hard. Some people say they can cut off business with family, but my husband and I always talked about the business when we were traveling or in the car with the children or at home. And so the children were brought up knowing about the business, and also traveling with us anytime they were out of school. If it was spring break or the summers, if we're going to trade shows, we've always involved them and taught them about the business. And I think we're one of the few people that in our industry that always had our children everywhere.
Well, it's a fun industry to take children to.
So it seems like almost a natural progression where they would get involved in the business.
Yes, but both of our children worked outside the business before coming into the family business. That's one thing that we wanted them to do. Our daughter graduated from Georgia with her teaching degree. And then she taught for a year. I think she taught for 2 years. She taught for 2 years. And then she decided she was going to go back and get her MBA. So she went back and received her MBA from Georgia State, and then came into the family business. Of course, she'd always worked in the family business when she was in school. She went to Georgia. As we were talking before the program, both our children went to boarding school. So when they were lucky enough to get in Georgia when they went to college. So they were in Athens, and so a lot of the times they would come and help in the business. And as growing up, you know, they helped in the business too from day one. But we always said they should go and do something else. Our son, He went out and worked also before coming into the family business for several years. He went to Enterprise in the beginning and went through their training program, which is a really good training program. Wow. And then he went to work with an ad specialty company, was similar in size to our company, which gave him a lot of great sales experience.
So they really felt like, again, the experience outside the family business really helped them bring some different insight to the gift business?
I think so. I think it helped them, and also to understand from the employee's aspect how an employee feels. And we've always, you know, treated our employees as family. I mean, we feel like they are family.
Yeah. So you started with two part-time employees, and I don't think we gave the statistics when we announced the show, but I know you have over 300 people working with you now. How quickly did that happen? And talk about some of the complexities of, I mean, every time you add a person, to your point, when you own a business, you're worried about, in the early days, you're certainly worried about, can I afford this person? And, you know, what will happen if you're talking about keeping the business rolling all the time? How have you grown those employees? And then we want to talk about keeping the culture alive in those.
Well, it is difficult to keep the culture when you have that many employees, but I think we've done a really good job. I try to know our employees. I try to know their family. We do a lot of family outings together. So, we work really hard, but we play really hard is what I always say.
And when was the point where, I know you have 300 now, you started with the two part-time. How quickly did you ramp up to that many employees, or is that more recent?
Over time, I mean, as I said, I hired two people in March of 82, and then by the summer I was hiring more people in the fall. So, and we have a lot of employees that have been with us, 25 years and 20 years. I mean, it's a good portion of our employees have been there a long time, as for the amount of people that we had at that time. But it's just been gradually over the time. You know, the economy's been not as great lately, and also we've implemented a lot of technology, so that's been able to not have the employee count go up.
Right.
We've done a lot of things that's been able to, because to cost control, technology is very important in order for our other employees to be able to have a successful company. But it's just been gradually over the last, I would say, I don't know exactly the numbers of when we added people, but it was constantly adding people over the years.
That's smart that you grew smart instead of taking on a lot more overhead and not knowing where the business might be headed. Now, you've virtually invented your niche. I mean, what does the competitive landscape look like right now?
Well, we try not to look at that. I mean, we look at what we're able to do, not necessarily our competitors. I think if you're looking at your competitors, you want to know what your competitors are doing. But we try to do something different, and where we'll be a little bit ahead of our competitors. So I think that's the way we look at our business. We're constantly trying to grow our business, staying abreast of what's going on in the industry, but making sure that we're going to be several steps ahead of the other competition.
Yeah, and I want to talk about some of the things that you do for your employees, because that certainly adds to that. But another topic that we talked about earlier is starting to have children. Meredith has children. I was a working mom with children. How did you juggle that? Two young children must have required a lot of travel. Do you have any insight for many of our business owners are juggling so many balls at a time? Yes, you took your children with you when you travel, but how else were you able to juggle that?
Well, I had good help at home, and also, as I said, I've always had a very strong family network. My parents were always there for me, and having good help at home, and, you know, that was the main way, and always just keeping our children involved, and they did come to work in the afternoons, and spending as much time as possible with them, but also devoting time to the company and letting them know, you know, how important it was for me to be involved in the business. I mean, I think you always sometimes have some resentment with your children when you're so involved, but I think, you know, one of the things that was really good when our daughter went away to boarding school, I think she understood.
She understood all the...
I think she understood, you know, that... Sorry, I get emotional.
Yeah.
I told you that.
Yeah.
That she understood that she had a strong family network. That
she could
come home anytime she wanted to. Where a lot of children don't have that opportunity to be able to know that they're always welcome.
Yeah, absolutely. So you also, you know, I mentioned on our website in the intro that these employees, these 300 employees, it's really as if, you know, for Thanksgiving, you probably could have all of them at your table. That you treat them like family. And most of us who work anywhere in the HR or leadership or any of those areas know how important it is to make your people feel wanted. And in doing some research, you have some unusual benefits that you offer to your employees that really focus on keeping them healthy. And can you share some of the strategy that you've used there to really show your appreciation and loyalty to your employees?
Well, we have a wellness program, so we're constantly bringing in, you know, to test for the high blood pressure, mammograms, different things like that. That's constantly coming in. We also have an in-house beauty salon, and we've had our beauty salon for, I think, since '87, somewhere
wow.
in that neighborhood.
That's cutting edge, so, right there.
So, I mean, I don't know if anyone else in our area has one. I'm not aware of it that they do. But we think that it's important for our employees to feel beautiful. And we know if they're busy, they're not able sometimes to have time to go out and have their hair and nails done. So we always say we have the best nails in town, which is really important. But we just feel like, you know, it's very important for your employees. I mean, they're at the front lines. The customers, they're not talking to me on a daily basis. They're talking to our salespeople. And if our people in the warehouse are not able to pack the orders correctly, then their orders are going to come in wrong. So, you know, our people are the most important. You know, that's the number one asset that we're able to sell, because anyone can have a product, but your customer service is the most important. Or we feel that's how I've started the business, was devoted to customer service and to make sure we hired the best people and we trained our people. I think my background as an educator was able to play into that. We have a full-time training manager and have since the early days. But when our salespeople are trained for 6 weeks before they go on the phone, they may be on the phones, but they're actually in a training session where the manager is there to make sure that our customers are getting the right information that they need. So, you know, our customers can depend on us. Because we know if we don't treat our customers right and we don't give them the right information, we're not trying to build on a one-time sale. We're looking for longevity. And the same thing is when we hire an employee. I look for, when we hire someone, that hopefully that person's going to be there to retirement. A lot of people, you know, they're looking for the sale, or they're looking for the employee for today, not for tomorrow. And we're always looking for the long term. Mm-hmm. So I think that's how, you know, we have been able to hold that culture. You know, people there know that they're important. They are important to us.
Mm-hmm. It's very clear.
So you've had a number of employees, you said, for a very long time?
Yes, that's correct. We're very proud of that.
You know, you talked about training your employees, but you also have something that was pretty unique to me when I discovered it. You have a balloon university. Who goes there? And can I come? Can I come tomorrow?
Well, it's our customers. So we're wholesale only, as you well know. And so we started early on. We felt like it was important, just like training our our employees, it's important to train our customers. So we have a school, and we did it in Athens for years, about 2 years ago. We changed, and now we're doing it at the Marts because as money was tighter for people to be able to travel, we thought we would bring it to them. So we actually have the University at the Atlanta Gift Show, the Dallas Gift Show, and the Chicago Merchandise Mart. So each year we do it in July. We've always had our classes, and we used to take over the Classic Center. Before we had a Classic Center in Athens, we used to do the local schools. Clark Central allowed us to come in and take over the whole school for a week.
Wow.
So that's how we kind of started out, was doing the local school and would have classes. We have classes on training how to use the product as well as also business classes. And we're doing the same thing now. We do classes that can train you on the product, how to use the product, and also some business classes and also design classes.
So obviously it's in your best interest that your vendors or your people that you're wholesaling to are profitable and it makes sense to use your product.
That's right. If they're not profitable, then we're not going to be profitable. What's important is everything's like a big circle to me. You have good employees, you have good customers, you train your employees, you train your customers, and then everything will fit together.
Yeah. So you build loyalty all around you.
That's hopefully we do.
Yeah, well, it just sounds like that would do it. I also know that you've kept up with some of the initiatives that there are around the green initiatives in the community, and that probably goes back. And we'll talk a little bit when we talk about your philanthropy about 4-H. But I know you were raised and were very active in that. But I also know that in your business you have a program for. Conservation, I guess, is the best way to say it. Can you share some of the initiatives that you're doing? I read some of them. I just thought they were just amazing.
Well, I mean, we have done a really good job of planting trees to take care of the water runoff, and we've been also, we've won awards on that. One thing we just have implemented in the last several months is a voice system for order picking. So that's really saved a lot on the paperwork. We also have headsets that work off the phone system, so we're not having to have batteries. So we try to do anything we can to save the environment. But I think our voice system, I mean, that's been tons and tons and tons of paper, because you can imagine the number of orders we have going out each day, and each one of those are printed to paper, and they were until just a few months ago, and how much money that's saving now to have the headsets. And it's a lot faster. It's a lot better for us. We also have products. We're always looking for products that are earth friendly. Mm-hmm. So we look for products, we look for ways we can anything we can save on the environment, by the paper waste to bailing our stuck with words right now.
Yeah.
But we're always looking for the next thing that we can do to save the environment. That's a program that we're very much in, that we have someone looking into all the time.
Yeah, it's great. Good citizen and really giving back. I think that's awesome. You know, you were mentioning that you were no longer just balloons. What made that? How did you move on into other items? I know I've been on your website, and there's some fabulous gift items and things. You seem to always be a little bit ahead of your time, Maxine, so I'd love to hear when that change occurred.
You know, I don't remember the year, but it was, I was just thinking. You know, I was looking at how paper goods were done, and they would have matching accessories, and I thought, why can't we do that? Why can't we have a mug that matches a balloon and a tote bag? And so just from there, it branched out. We went into home decor items, and so we were always just looking for things that would relate to the floral industry. So we've tried to stay the gift and floral industry. You know, our market niche, that's our niches. We're in anything that we think that would relate to our gift industry, and also things that would relate to the floral industry, and not try to branch out so much from that type of business. Also, we do a lot with gift baskets as well. You know, we do hospital gift shops, so anything that would be related, like hospital gift shops, grocery floral, and mom-and-pop gift shops, mm-hmm. and we do the chains as well.
Mm-hmm.
So we try to look at things we think that would relate to our product line that we can do similar type designs because we're very design oriented.
Yeah. So talk about that. You have a huge art department, and I mean, you have a whole agency on site, don't you?
Yes, we actually do our own catalogs, everything but printing. So we have a large graphic staff, and we're a little bit different than most companies because most people have their art and graphics are combined. We do run them as separate departments, and also our visual merchandise is separated out. So that way we can concentrate. If we're trying to get our catalogs out, mm-hmm. our graphic department's working on the graphics, and our art department constantly is working on products because, it's, as you know, if we're changing over a good portion of our products each year and we have 15,000 items, we're constantly having to develop product. And you're always having to develop more product than what you're able to sell because you're not sure how it's going to turn out. So we overdevelop. So that means we have a lot of products to develop each year. But we have approximately about 40-something creative people on staff. So we're heavily in the creative.
So how do those R&D or creative guys come up with these new, unique things? Do they just tinker around with different stuff? Or
they're always thinking and always working and trying new items, new different designs, and trying to, we travel a lot. We're constantly all over the world looking at what the next design idea is going to be. You know, it's tougher because everything's so global now. You know, you don't have as right. much time as you used to. It was easier early on because, you know, Europe was always ahead of us. But now, I mean, everything's instant. I mean, you know, within 2 seconds, you're seeing what's happening in another part of the world. So we're always trying to think and be on the, not exactly on the cutting edge, because for our customer group, we need to be trendy but not on the cutting edge. So we're lucky with that part that we don't want to be too cutting edge. Mm-hmm. But it is a challenge to stay on top of what's going to be the next item, what's going to be the next design. But we've done a good job, and I think we'll continue. We have a great staff, so that's constantly working on.
Oh, that's a lot of people. That's a lot of creative people, so I'm sure their juices flow really good.
It's not just that staff. You know, we involve all of our employees. So I want to make sure that everyone knows that other departments also are involved in giving suggestions. Our salespeople give suggestions. Our warehouse people, when they travel, in our import department, everyone has an input into what we do. So we try to get our employees involved, knowing that their ideas are important to us.
Yeah, well, it's getting everybody in the family to speak up is really what you've done. Yeah.
Well, we understand that philanthropy is a big part of what your family's about. Could you talk a little bit about some of your passions there, and what are some of the things that you've done?
Well, we feel that the community's been, you know, we've been very fortunate, so we like to give back. So we're involved in most everything that happens in our community, you know, the heart walk, the cancer. I mean, and our employees are involved. It's not just us. We don't have to worry about whether we're going to be involved, because we'll have a committee that's going to be in charge of whatever event's coming up, and we're always and we feel that's very important. But it's, you know, it just filters down throughout the whole organization. People are involved. We've been very involved in 4-H. We think that's very important because that's also, you know, anything that has to do with education. And we feel like in the rural areas, 4-H is very important, and we get so many nice notes back about what we've done with 4-H.
Well, that camp was part of your husband's growing up. Am I right? You have a 4-H camp that I think bears your name. And did it come from his childhood? Was he participating there?
We both went to the camp, but my husband was a counselor mm-hmm. at Tybee, and mm-hmm. Which is now called the Burton 4-H Center at Tybee. Mm-hmm. So we were both involved in 4-H, but he was a counselor, and that's kind of like a cult, I always tell him, because those people really stick together. I was never a counselor, but we both really believed in the 4-H program and what it can do for children and the leadership that comes out of the 4-H program.
Right. And so did your children participate in it?
Our daughter was in 4-H. They both went to a private school that didn't have 4-H involved, but they've always been brought up understanding and about the 4-H program and how important, and our children are very involved now and giving back to the 4-H program.
You know, one of the things that's been a constant theme for our family business owner guests has been this idea of, at first, you are the business. When you open those doors and you were you had part-time employees, but you were the business, and I'm sure you were making those first sales calls. And then you start adding employees, and one of the things that helps add value to a business is when you can start to bring in outside management and kind of step back Have you started that process at all?
Well, that's very hard for an entrepreneur.
I know.
Oh, we have brought in people, and we have a great management team. But I think as an entrepreneur, I haven't seen many entrepreneurs that can step back very well.
Mm-mm.
That's probably one of the worst things. In fact, I got a lecture on that this morning from one of my managers on taking on the little things instead of, he's probably listening right now, instead of worrying about the big things. But it's just very difficult. I mean, I work on it each day, and I have given up a lot of things that, mm-hmm. that I don't do because there's just not enough time.
Right.
But, you know, you want your finger. I mean, it's so important because that business is like a child to you. So it's very difficult to let go, even though you know you have great people. And I still like to get involved with our customers. It's, you know, that's our livelihood.
Mm-hmm.
So it's important to me. And I don't know how... It's just hard to let go.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
I don't know. Other people, I need someone to train me on that. I need a mentor to teach me how to let go.
Mm-hmm. And well, everyone that we've had on as a guest has said that's the hardest thing that they've had to do. Getting through some of the tougher times or the economic challenges are not as hard as being able to let go. So I know that can be a challenge.
That's right, because mm-hmm. you just run out of time. I mean, you know, there's not enough time to go around. It's not humanly possible to do everything, but choosing which things you're going to let go is really difficult. Which ones are the ones that are not important for you to stay abreast of?
Right. Yeah.
So does Burton & Burton have any big initiatives in terms of the gift market moving forward, or what are some of the big things that are on your all's plate right now that you can talk about?
Well, you know, we're just always constantly looking for the next new item, the next new venture, and we probably wouldn't want to talk about that on the radio.
Absolutely
right now
not.
Because
yeah.
our competition may be listening.
Yeah.
I mentioned in the intro about the Georgia Port Authority and being appointed to that by the governor. Tell us a little bit about that experience. How long have you been on the board? I think it's a 4-year term. Is that right?
Yes, I'm on my third term, and it's been very interesting. You know, I don't know if everyone knows this, but I put a plug in for the Georgia Port. We're the fastest growing port in the nation, which is just unbelievable. I mean, we're the fourth port in the nation. That means that Long Beach, L.A., and New York, New Jersey is combined port, and Georgia's the next port. I mean, I didn't put those maybe in. I think that's in the order, L.A. and Long Beach, and then New Jersey, New York, and Georgia. That's pretty unbelievable.
That is. Yeah. What's happening down there? What's the challenges for the board for growing? If we're growing that rapidly, are there some challenges there?
We've had just fantastic management at the Georgia Port. They're just on top of everything, and we can just be very proud because they're constantly out calling on the different countries, making sure we have the ship lines coming into Savannah. So I just can't brag enough on the Georgia Port. They just are doing everything right. We have a great board, but we have a great staff.
Yeah, it would seem to be pretty important to our economy, especially as you mentioned with this being a global.
And also, we've had the two governors that I've been involved with that since I've been on the port are very supportive of the port. That's very important that you have good support from your political people as well. Because without the political people, if you don't have the governor and also the other congressmen and senators that backing the port, that's very difficult. So we've been very lucky that we've had strong governors that have supported the port.
Hmm. So is the board doing some initiatives that you've been working on to attract not just the shipping lines, but is this meant to attract business? I know that, for example, Georgia Bio and some of those other industries are coming in. Has that been part of the initiative?
Yes, and that's something that Georgia has done a really good job that some of the other ports have not done. We've really made contact with the business people themselves. So we have the loyalty of the business people then that brings the ships in. If you have the business people wanting to come to Georgia. Mm-hmm. I don't know how much the port wants me to say about what they're doing. But I just would say that the initiatives that the staff has taken and the board have taken have really paid off, and we can see. I mean, we were the seventh in the nation at the time I went on. So to move up three places in that length of time, and that's very difficult. And also the Georgia Port has continued during this recession, has done a tremendous job. So I'm very proud of the port.
Mm. So this topic of recession keeps coming up, and as you look, I mean, it's not the first. You've been in business a long time. There's been cycles. Each time you go through those cycles, you know, I think you kind of learn things. As you come, hopefully as we come out of this, and you probably can comment a little bit about that in terms of how the atmosphere at some of the recent marts has been, but were there changes that you had to make, or was it just, most people talk about working smarter?
Well, we had to make changes. I mean, we've had to look at how we can do more with less. I mm-hmm. mean, everyone had to look at that because, you know, in the retail segment of the people we have, of course, retail sales have been down. But we have done a really good job as a company. I think that we took the initiatives that we needed to take. And we do see that we're coming out of the recession. We feel like we are. We had tremendous January shows. I mean, we were up tremendously over last year. And so we really saw we were down at the March year before last. And mm-hmm. so we really could see it coming and were able to plan and did, I think, a really good job of planning for our fall and Christmas last year. Probably did not see the turnaround coming as quick as we could have. So, but we, you know, were able to see it coming in January. That kind of gave us a whether or not we could if the economy was coming back. And mm-hmm. So mm-hmm. that's really how we've been planning.
Well, the retailers weren't that much more ahead of you, though. Most of them are kind of surprised at how quickly it's coming back. So hopefully that will buy some time.
Yes, well, yeah. I think we've done a good job. And we're, you know, we have all new product. That's one thing that we continuously did that other companies didn't. We constantly came out with new products, even during a recession. So we felt like it was important to have new product because customers want to see what's new. And, you know, our customers want them to have new products, so we have to have new products. So we've done a good job of making sure that we have the new items for our customers to have in their stores where other people didn't have that. And that's one thing that was that we heard a lot of comments last year and also this year at the March of how people were – that our showrooms looked different, that they didn't look the same, that they walked in and saw a lot of other showrooms throughout the marts that just had the same old. And, you know, we've always felt like that we have to keep constantly moving ahead.
Yeah, that goes back to your theme. You're kind of really ahead of the game. That's kind of been the theme for the business. So you look back, and I think, is your mom also involved? Does she work in the business now?
Yes.
Yeah.
Still.
Yeah.
Talk to us about that.
Oh, well, you know, she loves to work, and I think it's her livelihood. She just enjoys the business and has been there since the very beginning and still is at work at 6 o'clock every morning.
Wow.
So, I mean, when I'm so tired, I can't make another step. I think I don't know how my mother does it. So it gives me inspiration to keep going.
Wow. So look back. You've had just, you know, many years to come, but what a great history so far. What have been some of the secrets that you think are unique? And I know you're very humble about what you've done. So, but many of the things you're unique. If you pick out some of the things that you consciously did in the business that got it to where it is, and did it from the perspective of a closely held or a family business owner, what are some of the things that really, when you close your eyes and think back, really stand out for you?
I would have to say hiring good people. You know, that's the main important thing to me is hiring people and doing the best we can to train them. Not that we have the best in the world because we still could do more training because I think you can always do more training. And that's something we have to always be conscientious of is how can we bring more training into the business. But that, you know, and also making sure we have a quality product, also aligning ourselves with quality people, whether it's our factories, you know, any kind of supplier that we're going to have the quality merchandise and that we're going to be aligned with people that have the same caring feelings that we have. Mm-hmm. You know, that's important to us. And I think that's what at the end of the day, I think all that's what you're about. Mm-hmm. I listened to a tape one time. It talked about successful companies and that they're not about what product they're selling. It's about their culture.
Mm-hmm. Well, your culture seems to go, you know, as I listen to you, it's this family isn't just mom and dad and the children that are in the business, but all your employees and then all of your customers as well. So it's a giant family, isn't it?
That's correct.
Yeah. I can see that really making a difference.
We don't see that very often, I think, with a lot of family business owners where they really try to keep the business separate from the family culture. So mm-hmm. that seems to be something that's very unique to Burton & Burton.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, we just feel that's very important. I mean, I think you talked to me earlier and you're asking about how do you keep the family together. One company had dinner every Friday night together, and right. and I'm going, well, you know, we have dinner a lot of nights together. We just try to get the family together as much as possible. I mean, a lot of times we're traveling, but I mean, the last two nights our whole family was together because our grandson had a ball game, so my parents went to the game, and my daughter and my son, my daughter and son-in-law, and even their nanny was there, and my husband. So, you know, and then we had dinner together both nights afterwards. So anytime we can involve the family, because we're constantly working, we're working together, and so we try to make sure that we have a happy home life as well as working together, because it can be difficult working with family members because you expect a lot of your family members.
Yeah, and that's something that's of interest to our listeners often. And maybe you can share, because you're very obviously spent a lot of time with your children. Did they have a sense coming into the business that they needed to stretch themselves a little bit more? Do they have a sense that they needed to, that the bar was a little bit higher? That often happens in situations.
I think children always know that people are looking to see. I always try to tell them that people are always going to be looking at what you're doing wrong. So you have to make sure to try to do your very best, because, I think people, I don't know if they want children to, they don't necessarily want them to fail, but they just, they're wondering, I mean, they have it easy, but they really don't have it easy. I've heard that on one of your other programs, because children have a tough time because they're trying to measure up to their parents and also to the employees. Mm-hmm. And in some respects, they have it easier, too, because they are a family member. So it's both ways. I mean, they have it tougher, and then they have it easier because, I mean, you are there because of the family, but yet you're having to make sure you're proving yourself, and it's hard. And it's hard for the parents also, because it's their child. And an employee.
Yeah, absolutely.
So you guys are able to seriously leave business to business and separate that, but still constantly do things together, huh?
I don't know if we separate it or not, because we're constantly talking about business when we're together. But we try to still have a happy family's the most important. You know, the business is important because that's what supports us. So we all have to understand that we have to make this business a success, because our livelihoods depend on it. Everything we have is invested in our business. You know, we've got to make it successful, but yet we have to have a happy home life.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned your grandson, and is there another generation of Burtons preparing in the wings?
Yes, because our grandchildren, they're so involved in the gift shows. We take them to the gift shows, and our grandson hands out cookies, and our granddaughter, they come to, we always have a cocktail party, so our grandchildren are always at the cocktail party and greeting the customers and thanking them for their business.
Oh, wow.
So we're trying to train them. We started off from when they were babies coming to the shows and getting them involved. We also, I don't know if you've looked at our catalogs and our website, but we have all the pictures of our employees and also our family. People always come in and on the fact of how they enjoy seeing our children grow up, and also now our grandchildren grow up. I mean, as we our grandchildren were born, we sent out birth announcements to all of our customers to let them know. And, you know, most of them appreciate that because they enjoy being, I mean, they're family businesses as well, a lot of our customers. So they enjoy knowing they're doing business with a family business, to have them in mind and really are going to take care of them, and we're going to be there for them for the long run.
Yeah, I'm sure that makes a difference. It's such a personal touch. Yeah. I'm sorry. We were talking about your grandchildren, and I thought of another topic, but I've lost my train
of thought. Yeah, no. So how old are your grandkids right now then?
Our grandson's 5. Our granddaughter will turn 3 in June, and we have another one on the way. Wow. And that's all from our daughter. Our son's not married yet, so.
Oh, wow. So more birth announcements going out. Yeah, yes. That must inspire you, though, in terms of new products, too.
That's right.
Well, I mean, certainly some of the, well, I guess all the gifts, I mean, it's going to be, there's not age appropriate or age different gifts or anything with having grandkids, are there? Or talk to us a little bit about the product lines or that kind of thing.
Well, sometimes our product lines are inspired by our grandchildren, and we use our grandchildren in our ads, and also our employees' children in our ads. So, but we do a lot of baby items. So, as I told you, we sell the hospital gift shop, so that's really big. Right. So, a lot of baby items, and so we're constantly just looking at products that will sell to the markets that we're in. So, yeah. Baby items are really big. They're big in florist also. So, you know, and right. In the gift shops as well. And we're also doing a lot with personalizing right now. Because that's the big market right now. You're asking one of the things, and we're doing a lot of things that can be personalized.
So that they can buy them and then add the name sketch.
Yes, either, you know, we can do it for them if a lot of monogramming shops out there.
Right.
So we sell a lot of products that they can use in their monogramming shops.
Mm-hmm. You can monogram balloons?
You can put names on balloons. We have a process that you can do that as well. And also we do a lot of bags and storage containers.
Mm-hmm. Does it ever get for you that when you go on these buying trips that it's like a kid in a candy shop, that you see so many things and can't bring them all home?
Well, we're constantly trying to decide what to design, and we're over designing, as I said, and right now I'm still brain dead because I told you I just got back from the Orient last week, and it takes me a couple of weeks to adjust because I was there so long, because I still travel with the art staff. I'm uh-huh. real involved in our product development, but it is hard sometimes which ones are going to be the best ones to put out on the market.
Right.
It is very difficult to say no.
Right. So you were in China for 2 months, correct?
I was there for a couple of weeks and home for Easter. I came home just for Easter week, and then I went back for almost 4 weeks.
Wow. And is that with the art staff visiting and trying out new designs? You're very hands-on then.
Yes, we were working in the factories.
Wow.
Has Asia and China been able to really help some of your operational costs and so forth with the product line and so forth?
Well, it helps, you know, with the internet now and being able to send designs over. Because we were in the Orient for that length of time, we're still constantly designing each and every day. So we're constantly, we have a full department that's devoted to imports only, that's communicating with China each day. So that helps a lot, you know, I mean. But I still feel like we have to be able to be over to see the new materials that are coming out, to where we can be on the leading edge.
Hmm. Well, here's my takeaway that this is a very personal business. No matter how many products that you sell or countries that you carry them in or how many square feet of showroom that you have, as you describe this, I still feel like I'm maybe in that first little shop with you, just being very excited about the product. That's the impression I'm getting.
Oh, yes. I'm still enthusiastic about our business each and every day. You have to be. I mean, you know, constantly you see businesses that are successful and then you lose focus and the business is out of business. So each and every day I feel like it's just the same as it was yesterday. We've got to be able to improve the business. If not, we're not going to be here. So I look at not what we did yesterday, but what can we do for tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And that's the way our whole business reacts. It's not that we've been successful. It's that are we going to continue to be successful?
Well, a little bit. Your industry helps you to have to be very forward-thinking. You're always got to be looking ahead at the next mart, the next show, the next gift show. So that helps a little bit. Some of our family businesses don't have quite that pull. But I think retail and those kind of pull you into the looking forward, and sounds like that's been a benefit.
That's true. I never thought about it that way, but we're constantly having to design for the, you know, we're always a year and a half ahead on our design items. I mean, we've already finished all of spring for next year. We're working on Christmas for 2011. Right. Sometimes I don't know what month it is. I have to pinch myself and say, now, what month is it? Because we're constantly working on so far ahead that we don't know which season we're, you know, you have to think about what to dress in the morning. Is it May or is it or is it September? So you kind of get lost in that because you're constantly having to get ready for the showrooms and for the catalogs because we have to be so far ahead to get that out to our customer base since yeah. we're only wholesale.
Mm-hmm. I also like the conscious decision each and every day to have a culture that extends not just to the business, is the same at home, is the same to your clients, your customers, and that's so unique in the business world we live in today.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah, there's a lot unique about your business. It's been a great story, and I think many takeaways for our guests, especially in terms of understanding that, you know, you have chosen and have successfully incorporated your family, and it's really a very blended environment for your own personal family, but also for everyone in the company that it I'm sure makes them feel like it's a place that their family is also welcome.
I hope so.
Yeah. It's a great story. I really appreciate you sharing it with us today. You know, we always have on our website a place where people can go and listen to this broadcast, but we also like to tell them how they can find our guests. So we've woken a lot of people up about Burton & Burton right here in Georgia. Mm-hmm. How would they find your website and see all this exciting information and all these great products that we share today?
Well, our web address is www.burtonandburton.com, and Ann spelled out, so you can go in and see all of our products and find out about us there.
And you have a customer service, an 800 number. We may have some florists listening that will want to know how to reach you that maybe, I can't imagine.
Yeah, they already all know her, but.
But just in case.
The 800 number is 1-800-241-2094. Hopefully I said that slow enough. And the website is Burton & Burton.
Well, if anybody missed it, they can easily go to our website, www.familybusinessradio.businessradiox.com. If you go up there today, you will see the intro for our show and all the details of Maxine's great bio and all the contact information. And if you come back to the site on Tuesday, you will actually be able to find this podcast and be able to download it and enjoy this discussion whenever you'd like to. So thank you again.
Thanks, Maxine.
Thank you so much for having me.
Thank you.